welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined again in studio this week by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, sometimes this business, this radio business, this media mogul business will break your heart. And that happened to our group collectively earlier this week, in which we taped an episode. We taped an episode that I thought was fairly magical. I don't want to speak for the two of you.
Maybe the finest ep we've ever recorded. Can we go that far with
it? Thank you, baby. I'm glad you said that out loud, because I was feeling the same way. I'm heartbroken, Ronnie. I'm crushed. I'm sick over the fact that for whatever reason the audio did not work out on this ep, and we've had to scrap it and we've had to start over. So guys, I don't know about you. I'm a little fragile. I feel a little unsafe about this episode, but because we are pros, we are going to move forward. And in the spirit of moving forward, we have some exciting news as a company. We have been lately working on a merger of sorts, a corporate merger, with another huge entity, a huge player in the Christian clothing industry.
Huge player in the tiny niche of the Christian world that we reach.
A huge player, and by that I mean probably operating out of someone's basement, although I can neither confirm nor deny that. But we have finally, after many, many months of planning and kind of sparring, repartee, as it were, we've entered into an official agreement with Mission Aware, in which they're back as a sponsor of the program. But the exciting part, Pipe, is that they have a new line, a winter line, a Christmas line of Happy Rant branded gear.
Cue Winter Wonderland music right now, Big T, if you would.
Baby, it's a Winter Wonderland right
which
now.
Which is funny, because Ronnie's been cueing that for the last 4 months.
That's
walking
right.
In a winter wonderland.
So Big R, as you sip your hipster pour over in your Christmas sweater, you can do so out of a $64 Happy Rant Yeti mug.
It's not $64.
I know.
It's less than that.
It's less than
marginally.
That. Pipe, being that you are the businessman that you are, you're the promo guy that you are, I want you to talk us through the nuts and bolts, as it were, of this agreement. I don't know how to feel about it. I'm a little bit like in a weird emotional space of sort of like after Tom Brady won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago and he said, I don't know what to do now.
Is that all there is?
I've been to the mountaintop, you know, and now that we finally closed this deal, with Mission Aware, the champagne has all been poured. You know, the celebrating is done. I don't know. There's a certain emptiness in my life. So I want you guys to speak to that. I want to know emotionally, if we're on the same page. And Pipe, I also want you to suss out the parameters of the deal and how our listeners can be involved.
Yeah. So when I published, Ted, you have to think back a few years on this, but when you mm-hmm. published your first book, when I published my mm-hmm. first one, you know, mm-hmm. you have all this anticipation leading up to it that, that you life will be forever changed. You'll walk out of your mm-hmm. front door and you'll carry a different aura with you because you're a published author.
There
may be a financial windfall that comes with it. Mm-hmm. There's all of these things that life will be utterly transformed. Mm-hmm. And then release day comes and release day goes, and you wake up and you realize
nothing
has fundamentally changed, except that you're being asked to do interviews with people who didn't read the book.
Yes.
This is correct. Not like that.
Mm.
Because the next day we can wake up and drink coffee out of our Happy Rant mugs.
Yeah. Life is different. Life is fundamentally different now, boys.
And we can record all of these deep emotions in our Happy Rant moleskin journals.
Yes.
While wearing our Happy Rant gray t-shirts that look really crisp and sharp.
Mm.
And then if we have to go to work or if we have to go somewhere, we can take the coffee out of the great ceramic mug and put it into the 30-ounce Yeti-style mug and take it on the road with us.
Mm.
So this actually does fundamentally change life, much it more does. So than publishing a book. That may change other people's lives more, let's hope, mm-hmm. but this changes our life.
Mm.
And I'm profoundly moved by the sheer quality of these things.
Transcripts of what you just said, children, like our children's children will be reading that at some point. And they'll be inspired by it, as I have been. Big R, talk us through your emotions right now in the wake of this deal and in the wake of the reality that we now have our own gear as a company.
I mean, I think now we can actually call ourselves a company. I think we can use words like entity, and I think it has a real meaning now for the listener. I think now the listener, when they click on this podcast, I think they can have the confidence now that they are dealing with a global entity now. I don't think it's just three guys who gather together for, you know, that 1 hour a week that they actually work for their day job and get together and put out something that's just commentary and something that might be a little bit entertaining. I think now what we're looking at is we're looking at global enterprising. Does that make sense to you, Big T, when I say it like that?
Baby, I'm gonna be honest with you in that I don't know what global enterprising is. I just know that I like the sound of it.
I knew you would, and that's why I used that kind of language. But I am going to say this. I am going to say that, like you said in the beginning, Big T, I'm struggling because of the mysterious lost ep that you you kind of glazed over that a little bit. But I think that there's a lot of emotions going into that that I think the merger is going to help with. But that doesn't mean we still haven't lost something, does it?
We have lost something. We've lost something very tangible.
But I do think we need to remember that you absolutely can self-medicate with swag. Uh-huh. So
swag cures all.
I think Ronnie, that's you just need to rest on that point for a moment to help you work through some of those deep hurts that are legitimate. Those are legitimate fears and hurts. But rest in swag and remember the feelings that come from a soft cotton shirt. And drinking out of a very cool travel mug.
Guys, I'm going to rest. This is how I'm going to rest. I'm going to rest in, wait for it, the gospel as related to the swag, as related to the deal that has provided us the swag because of the goodness of the gospel. I mean, dude, are we theological now? Are we lining up with some other podcasts out there that I should remain nameless?
Podcast, not pubcast.
No. I said pubcast for a reason.
Dude, what you've done there is that you so deftly have made it okay for us to be raging materialists in this area.
Absolutely.
And we can literally, like Tony Montana in Scarface, we can fall face first, headlong into a pile of our own swag and feel good about it because of what you said.
Was that what he fell face first into? I seem to remember that movie going a little differently.
It went
No. It was missional wear. It was missional wear swag that Tony Montana literally fell face forward into.
Missional wear is a Florida company. That could have been.
That's how missional got established. Fair point. That's how they got established.
Yeah, that was the seed money.
Yeah. Dude, that was back when the reform swag business, everything was a little bit crazier in the 70s.
It was called Montana Wear.
Yeah, there weren't nearly as many regulations, a lot of crazy importing going on.
Dude, a lot of the swag was kind of floating over from Cuba, you know.
Right, I mean, that's why this deal took so long, Big T, because there are all the regulations, all the complications, all the complexities.
You know? So many tariffs to work through with Calvinist swag. It's insane.
Pipe, I want you to be real explicit now, man. Now that we've kind of done the we've all shared our feelings, we're working through these complex emotions together. I want you to tell the listeners how they can get a hold of this swag, where they can get a hold of it, what sort of codes to use to get discounts so that they don't have to take out a second mortgage for the Yeti travel mug. lay it on us, baby.
I think listeners will be pleasantly surprised by the price of the Yeti travel mug as well as the rest of it, because Ted has set you up for success by lying about the price, which is perfect. It's well done, Ted. It's price inflation, which allows for discount inflation, and everybody wins. But if you go to missionalwear.com and then they have a little search bar at the top, just type in Happy Rant, you will find the ceramic coffee mug, the Happy Rant laser-etched moleskin journal, the T-shirt that comes in a variety of sizes, depending on whichever, baggy, tight, whatever you want, and then the 30-ounce insulated tumbler, which is the Yeti-style travel mug, which really – and all this really does look good.
It does. It looks amazing.
I will feel proud to wear the shirt while writing in the journal, while drinking coffee out of either of the mugs. Probably not both at the same time, but depending on where I am. I will wear this t-shirt in public. It will not be like some Christian swag shirts that I have been given in the past that are like lawn mowing shirts or like sit around and watch college football at home but don't wear it on public shirts. This mm-hmm. I will wear this to a parent-teacher conference, and they will ask wow. me, what is the happy rent? And I will tell wow. them all about it, and they'll give me strange looks.
And you'll say, well, how sweet of you to ask. It's my super successful radio program.
That's right. I'm surprised you haven't heard of it. I'm stunned.
Exactly. Sweet of you to ask. I'm offended. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Exactly, yes. So, listeners, Missional Wear also has a sale going across their site, especially on apparel. They have a fall sale going where most things are discounted, more or less depending on the original price. But if you use the code RANT, you'll get additional discount. And they may throw in a Happy Rant sticker that you can put on your laptop or your guitar case or your car. We really like it if you put it on your car. That's great advertising. I'm a laptop guy myself for stickers. Ronnie may put it on, I don't know, a piece of electronic music equipment. Whatever.
Not a sticker guy. I like things intact and beautiful.
It's still intact. It doesn't break things.
No, it takes away from the original design.
It defaces.
Sorry, that's another topic for us down the road.
Okay, well,
and by down the road, I mean in like 5 minutes.
Sorry, didn't mean to step on any toes. Listeners, you can be like Ronnie and be a perfectionist, in which case you can take the sticker and give it to somebody who's not a perfectionist.
I reject the term perfectionist. Sorry, go on.
This is so difficult.
It really is.
But anyway, missionalwear.com, use the code RANT, get your discounts, buy your swag, give it to everybody for Christmas, give it to everybody for Thanksgiving. I'm assuming they have a shipping option that'll get it there in time. You can make it a really happy, ranty Thanksgiving, which is awesome, because otherwise your crazy uncle's going to be talking about how happy he is that Donald Trump won. So I would give out mugs and t-shirts and smooth things over very quickly.
Speaking of Uncle Trump, shall we get into that right now, Big T?
No, I'd rather
let's not.
I'd rather do anything, including take a beating. I would rather take a beating. Talk politics.
I don't want the Lifeway headquarters to send those electric currents my way. We tiptoed around that last time.
All right. Although I have to tell you that
we're losing our guts now, boys. I don't know.
I have to tell you, I did receive one text from a friend bragging about how he voted for Trump. I got the text came in last night. And I'm not going to lie, that happened. So,
do you mean former friend?
No, man, I'm just going to leave that where it is, man. I'm going to leave it hanging in the air, and then we're going to move on.
I mean, I'm impressed with your lack of judgment, your lack of commentary, and your lack of defriending him based on that.
Yeah, I'm not touching that one, man. I'm not touching it. But
you know what, man? You just tell Trogues and Bartels they can vote for whoever they want, and we don't really care, you know? So let's just leave it at that.
I want to go back to something that that Pipe mentioned in his promo. I want to ask about your t-shirt philosophy. When you guys purchase t-shirts, are you tight t-shirt, like fitted, or are we going baggy, or what? How do you approach that? Because I've seen some hipsters, Big R, kind of in our age bracket, our age category, mm-hmm. and they're kind of wearing like that soft, super fitted, like vintage, faux vintage t-shirt.
Yeah.
And it shows off a little bit of the paunch, man, a little bit of the dad bod. And I just don't know about that. So where are you guys at as it pertains to that?
I like it to be a little fitted, but not I don't do like a baby tee, right? But I like it to be a little like fitted. Right. So I do I'm a medium guy, which is, like right around where I'm at, so I do a little medium. And when
wait,
my
so
weight,
you buy shirts that fit. Is that what we're getting at here?
I mean, I like there to be a little play, but at the same time, you know what I mean? I don't like it to be like, I don't like it to be like 1990s, like hip hop era. Right. You know what I mean? I don't like it all baggy.
No tint.
Yeah. I don't like that because I don't need to like put an extra like 18 pounds on my body right now. So I like it to fit a little bit, Right.
And I'm the same. I don't do the super like whatever they call it, the athletic fit or the Euro fit, because I'm neither European nor terribly athletic. So those don't look good on me. just sort of a shirt that I don't like baggy shirts. I also can't stand shirts with loose necks. Like a t-shirt
hate loose necks.
So I'm a crew neck guy, not a V-neck guy. I can't do the V-neck. But the crew neck has to be suitably snug. Like not choking, but not like it can't be like sagging and baggy and like Ugh, that just
Piper. You know what's weird? Let me ask you this, Piper. You know what's weird? Like, here's my deal. I don't like it to go really. This is. I like it. I like the back of it to come up a ways too. Like, I don't like the back to slope down.
Yep.
Like, I'm real picky about that.
I will sit there and look like I have a twitching problem if that happens, because I'll be shrugging constantly to try to get the back of the t-shirt to.
That's what I'm saying.
Where it's supposed to. Yes.
Guys, there are some major, major issues that we are faced with in this world that I'm glad we can suss out on this program. Thanks for asking this question, Big T.
I'm glad we can walk through this together.
I am too, man, because I
– Ted, are you a baggy shirt guy? I feel like you might have used to have been a baggy shirt guy, but I'm curious where you're at now.
Dude, no, you know what? It's funny, man. Like, in the 90s when I would have been a baggy shirt guy, I was like, you know, hardcore into the – you know, the college football and being football guy and being like, I lift weights guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I was wearing the shirts like as fitted as possible back then. You know, now, much like the two of you, I've landed kind of somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to acknowledge that, that nature is taking over and
so
you can't rock
gravity. Yes.
Yeah. You can't rock the Baby Gap t-shirt like you once could, but
And to be fair, that doesn't look good on anybody.
It really doesn't.
I mean, like, it doesn't matter. I mean, even super athletic people. I mean, it's one thing if you go to the gym and you're wearing like a workout shirt that's, I don't know, like Lycra fit.
Yeah.
If you're muscular. But like in general, walking around wearing a shirt that fits like that, it either shows off things that shouldn't be shown off or it looks like you're showing off. And
well,
none
you gotta
of
be,
that
or you
got to
be like
awesome.
18 years old. If you're like 18 to 20, you can like pull it off.
Sure.
You
know? Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, because nobody cares what an 18-year-old does.
Except for 18-year-olds. They think everybody cares, which is why they're wearing a baby tee. Sorry to our 18-year-old audience out there who I just completely obliterated. Go to missionaware.com and get some of our swag. That'll help you feel better.
Absolutely. Boys, I want to stay in this realm of aesthetics. One of the questions that we got from a listener, it was very helpful and very interesting to me, was – as men, like, what's your philosophy as it pertains to haircuts? And I want to approach this a couple of different ways. First, what I want to do is I want to throw out a few names of famous evangelical figures who we both know or who we all know. And I just want you to speculate on how much dollar amount wise they spend on their haircuts. Okay.
Here goes.
So I'm going to give you a name. You're going to throw out a dollar amount in response. So I'll start with an easy one, just to get us warmed up as a group. The name is Stephen Furtick. How much is Furtick spending on his haircuts?
Interesting. I would say no less than I would put him at like an $85 guy. Like, so he's a dude that like when you look at his hair, you could say that should be 20, but because he has the money to spend more than 20, and he's probably going to a salon.
Yes.
It's gonna cost him like 80 to a buck 20.
Yeah, and he's definitely getting the hot towel treatment, and if they do mani pedis in the same place, he's doing the whole works. There's no doubt about
that. That guy's printing money, man. He's getting a little scalp massage
while wearing his baby tee.
Oh, I would stake every ounce of Missionaware swag I got coming in the mail on that. There's not even a doubt in my mind.
Baby tee guy, if there ever was one, man, Furtick. Furtick is ordering his Happy Ranch shirt right now in a like an extra small.
You know what? I will put a challenge out to Furtick right now during Advent season, if they know what that is at his church and they celebrate it, to actually wear a Happy Ranch shirt for all four Sundays. Make that five Sundays, since Christmas is on a Sunday, for Advent. So that's the challenge.
If you wear it for one of those Sundays, we'll send him one. And we'll throw in a coffee mug just for kicks.
So, guys, that's what we're calling right now, the Stephen Furtick Challenge. And if any of you guys have any proof of that, if you happen to listen to this program and go to that church, which would be a minor miracle, we ask you to like take a picture of that, send it to us so that we can send Furtick some free swag. Does that sound fair, boys?
Yeah, that sounds great. And you know what that is? That's just good spontaneous radio.
Absolutely.
Also really generous. I mean, I think you're our new our new windfall. You're really using it well and giving it away well. I'm impressed, Ronnie. I feel challenged to do the same with my success.
Guys, the gospel calls us to generosity, and that's how I think we should live it out. I'm just saying.
Free t-shirts.
Just saying.
Yep.
Right. So
for famous people.
Are we saying we could conceivably see Furtick the next time he goes into the pool for a mass baptism?
spontaneous mass baptism.
He could be wading into the pool in a tight fitting Happy Rant T-shirt.
I think
when it gets wet.
It demands it.
It demands it.
I mean, Elevation Church, is that the name of the church? It demands it now is what I'm going to say. It demands it, you know?
Maybe. I love it. I'm saying Furtick drops about 200 on the haircut, man.
Wow.
That's possible. I'm not going to disagree with
that. Does that include all the products that he puts in it?
That includes all the products.
He's definitely a guy who walks out with the hairstyle. Like, when I get my haircut, it's a haircut, and then I go home and like, I'm not going anywhere.
No, he's walking
out
carrying a bag. Yeah. He's carrying a bag when he walks out with product. Now, I'm not going to say that's never happened to Big R. I'm just going to be honest with you boys right now. But I'm saying,
I carried out
some product. Yeah, no, that
you
happens.
That distressed, like, brown bag, the brown paper bag with the little, like, hemp rope handles on it. You know what bag I'm talking about.
Right, but I mean, of course, but I'm carrying out, like, the vintage, like, grease that my hipster barber insists.
Dude, the vintage grease.
The pomade. Actually, like, are you a pomade guy?
You know, man, I go back and forth. I'm actually not. I look like I'm a pomade guy, but I use something else that kind of holds it into place a little tighter than pomade.
Dude, what he uses is like repurposed motor oil. That's the most hipster thing. It gets dredged up off the floor of like a quick lube.
It's hair wax from free range bees.
It's free range bees.
Free range cars too.
Valvoline motor oil from the 1980s.
So free range vintage cars from the 50s.
Yeah, recycled motor oil so that it doesn't get into the oceans and hurt the seals.
Of course. Right, they drained it out of like a 57 Chevy, right?
And to be fair, you also bring your own bag to the salon, right, Ronnie? Like, you don't use their bags because that creates waste.
Yeah.
Or are you not that picky?
I mean, I'm not that green.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not that green. Now, Furtick, don't hear me not being green and let that dissuade you from ordering missional wear.
Everybody has room for growth. Right. I don't think it should be a breaking point.
Guys, I just think I'm afraid now because I'm so stuck on Furtick, like literally wearing our garb for the next few weeks that I don't want to say anything to offend him. Like, I feel like the disappointment from the mysterious lost ep and now, you know, just the merger. I mean, Big T, help me. I'm all
mixed up
now and I'm confused.
Davey, you're all mixed up and you're all confused.
Right. I am, man.
Nice to wear.
Would it make you feel better if I told you that that ship has sailed?
What?
I'm fairly certain we may have said something on the show previously that he could find offensive. So maybe I think we need to do our best going forward. I think we need to blow as much hot air as we need to distract him from those things. But I think we also just need to come to terms with the fact that he may have listened to past episodes and have come away a little bit offended. He seems like he might be a little thin-skinned, maybe a little bit image conscious.
But there's one thing that might save us, and that's the fact that me and Big T are label mates with him on some level. Isn't that right?
Maybe are we? What label? Well,
I mean, I think his last book came out on Multnomah, right? What? So I mean, there's
Wow, man.
So I mean,
can I give the listeners a little behind the scenes peek into sponsorship?
Yeah,
you know, I know that there was a little bit of on air tension, some consternation about one or two of the books that we may have been willing to sponsor. But I will say we don't lack standards, and I did have a little back and forth with that publisher to turn down a sponsorship featuring a Stephen Furtick book.
Wow.
So
standards.
They do exist, contrary to popular opinion.
Yeah. We do. We know what we like. We know what we do. We know what we won't do. And we don't know a lot other than that.
That's
when it comes to the program.
Yeah, we're just working it all out.
Right.
It's part of our journey.
Working it out in the air. Boys, I'm going to throw you another name, haircut-wise. And I want you to weigh in on this one. This is a gentleman who has dined with Ronald J. Martin. This is a gentleman who has ridden in my car on occasion from time to time. Who I'm talking about, obviously, is one Don Carson. You can call him Dr. Carson.
And what seminary did you go to, Ted?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Where'd you get your PhD? What's our feeling on Dak's haircut situation, man?
Okay, so Dak to me is classic, like, just goes to, like, just some, like, barber down the road that's close to his house and gets just that, just gets that light, like, you know, older man, like, just trim it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that, yeah, that he, to me. He, so Dak is spending, like, 10 bucks,
right? He walks
in and
says, just a trim every time.
Right.
Just a trim.
Just a trim.
Yeah, old school dude. Like, hey man, we still do $8 haircuts here, kind of a place. So he throws the guy, $10 bill, man, and walks out and feels ready to roll.
He thinks they do $8 haircuts. They switched to $15 like 3 years ago, but he still throws him a $10 bill on his way out the door and never looks twice.
And he's like, I'm Dak and I'm Canadian and that's acceptable.
And he thinks it's a 25% tip on top of the $8 haircut, so he thinks he's generous.
And he thinks the guy's probably, like, enrolled in some of his classes at Trinity anyway, so
does he know his barber's name?
That is the – you know what, boys? If we can answer that question, I think many other things in our life will come together. We'll be able to figure out –
he does know his barber's name. I can see he does. I don't know why I feel that way. It's just a feeling, man. It's just
– So you think he knows his barber's name is Jerry?
I think he does. I think he knows Jerry, man.
What happens if he walks in and it's a different barber? Because like that, so the barber is that he's taken on an apprentice, but he had to take the day off to go.
Okay,
to his
that's a great question.
Like when he walks in, it's the apprentice barber. It's not
that's
Jerry.
A great question.
It's like it's Steve the younger guy. Does he turn around and walk back out? Does he just like freeze? Does he treat him the exact same way? How does that go?
I absolutely have no idea. I think that is one of the most mysterious questions ever. Here's the question. Does Dak care so much about his hair and haircut that if he walks in and there's a different dude there, he won't go? I mean, that's the question. And I think that's
– Or does he care so much about routine? Maybe it's not the hair. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and guess by appearances that it's not the hair, and say that if he cares about something, it's the consistency and the routine. I mean, it's
yes.
And so if Jerry's not there, this whole thing falls apart.
The fact have a barber that's noble. We need to have boundaries on that relationship. Now, I have another subtle and yet more nuanced question. Vis-a-vis Carson's interaction with his barber. Is he a guy who feels compelled to let the barber know how accomplished he is? Meaning, is he a guy to subtly and casually work into conversation with the barber? You know, this is what I do. This is what I've done, et cetera, et cetera. Do you guys, I mean, we all do it once in a while, but do you think Dak is that guy as it pertains to the barber?
I think, my opinion is that Dak is absolutely like not that guy. In fact, I would say that Jerry would at some point be shocked when he found out that's who Dak was.
Dude, because let's be honest, Jerry doesn't care, man.
No, Jerry doesn't care at all.
Right? Jerry doesn't care at all. You know, and that's why you love Jerry, because he doesn't care.
See,
you know?
Yeah, I think Carson, I think there's no way that he's that guy in that context. Put him in a room full of pastors, different story, because he wants to know what seminary you went to, and he thinks maybe you should listen to your wife, Ronnie, and be quiet. So I think,
made that abundantly clear.
Yes.
That's a great story.
We did have a listener who asked. See, I don't know if you're willing to say it, but who wanted to know what it was that you said, Ronnie, that got you the epic knee squeeze and call out.
Dude, I'm going to be honest, man. I honestly don't remember. It was just some smart aleck comment to get the conversation a little more lively around the table, which is what I like to do. It was dismal, right? So I wanted there to be even just a slight amount of humor around the table, because it wasn't.
Sure. There's no place for that. Not
there
here.
Was no place not for now. It. I didn't read it right. Not here, not now, not ever. And so I forget what I threw out, and he didn't like that. But you know what else I find really interesting is that – I mean, for Dak to go to a barber named Jerry, whose younger apprentice barber is named Steve, means that Jerry must be about 80 years old, because nobody since 1970 has been named – right? Nobody since like 1965 has been like named Steve by a
Steve's
by a
56.
Parent.
Is it a second career for Steve?
Steve retired early and decided to take this up because he needed something to do, and he had been going to Jerry for haircuts. And so this just seemed like, why not? I'm going to learn from Jerry. And So the younger apprentice is actually a significantly wealthy retired. So I think he was in finance, but that, I mean, if I'm guessing.
He was in finance.
Either that or he was the opposite. He was the custodian at Trinity. evangelical seminary.
And so he actually knows what DAC does. This is getting very complex.
It is getting complex. Yeah.
This sounds like an episode of Designated Person.
It does.
So, I feel like if I drop this plot arc right into an ep, man, it will work very well.
Who plays DAC though? Who do we get to play DAC?
Ooh.
Dude, who
should we throw DAC? It out to listeners like we did for Ronnie?
For you, man. I got one, and this one, Big R, I think you're gonna agree with this, not based on appearance, but based on demeanor.
All right. Okay. All right, I'm open.
The guy who played Mr. Carson in Downton Abbey.
Wow, I mean, you want to keep the name the same in everything.
Yes, I want to keep the name the same. I feel like the demeanor is the same.
But that dude, I mean, I have not watched much Downton Abbey. I've seen parts of a few episodes. And the guy you're talking about, I don't know his name, but
yeah.
He has an epic voice.
Oh, dude, he has
Carson. Yeah. At the risk of insulting him, doesn't.
Mm. Yeah,
he has,
no, right.
He has, I mean, it's just a normal voice. There's nothing wrong with it. But
yeah, Downton. Yeah, Carson from Downton has the voice. He's like Kurt, the voice Allen. I mean, he has the voice.
And you know what? Let's be clear, man. At the risk of insulting Dak, we haven't yet insulted him by talking about his haircut and his hypothetical barber situation for the last 20 minutes.
This is more like fan fiction than anything else.
Dude, it is. It's haircut fan fiction.
Big T, you've written a book with Dak, for crying out loud. Dude, there's nothing but respect around the HR about Dak,
maybe,
right?
Maybe I've written a book with Dak. Have I?
Yeah. Didn't you do that? Like, wasn't it that sort of like, you know, 19 different authors book and Dak was one of them? What was it called?
Oh, yeah. Dude, right.
Dude, I love how you don't even know that you've written a book with Dak.
Baby, there were so many guys in that room and in that book that I didn't.
Okay, I'm literally blown away. That's the most impressive thing I've heard in years, that you wrote a book with Dak
and
it means so little
care.
To you. You don't even remember. I mean, that's amazing.
Not to revert to an older subject.
Yeah.
I think the perfect Dak actor is John Lithgow.
Oh. Yes.
He's got the demeanor. He's got the look. He can do a range of voices.
He's playing Churchill right now on this show called The Crown. I mean, he's total Dak. Yeah, I mean, he's the guy.
He's Dak for days, that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Lithgow might be it. Listeners, if there's a better D.A. Carson actor, by all means, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook and let us know. But
And you know what, listeners? Go ahead and cast Jerry and Steve as well.
Yeah, so we've got the 80-year-old barber and the 56-year-old apprentice who is on a second career,
either from
custodian or from finance. You choose.
Yeah, we'll nobody past 1960 has ever been named Steve except for Stephen Furtick, and we just make your own. Go to your own place.
He is Steven, because remember, if you have a name like that, you have to go all in if you're a younger person. Steve is a middle aged man name.
Dude, what about Steve Altrogi?
he's about 10 years shy, I think.
Guys, I'm gonna submit something to you. I do not want to ever refer to Furtick as Stephen Furtick again after that last time I just said it. From now on, he will be Steve Furtick on this program.
Steve Furtick, nice.
All right.
Starting at third base for the 1983 Los Angeles Dodgers, Steve Furtick.
Steve Furtick been replaced by Ron Say.
That's right. In center field, Steve Altrogi.
I could have sworn Steve Furtick was their utility infielder.
He was kind of a jack of all trades, master of none.
Light hitting guy, scrappy.
Light hitting guy, slap hitter, you know. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know, man. In my class, like back in like the late 70s, early, like I had a couple of dudes named Steve. I also had like dudes named Scott, like in my classes, right? So
I had a ton of Scotts, man.
Scott and Steve was big. So was Kenny. Did you have a lot of Kennys, T?
Dude, no, I didn't have a lot of Kennys, man. I had maybe one or two Kennys.
Because that was a name of the era, right?
That was a name of the era, absolutely.
I think I'm a few years younger than you guys, and I feel like Zach was the most popular name.
That makes sense, dude.
Pipe, you're right. In your age genre,
lots of Zachs,
Zach.
Lots of Andys.
Yeah, Saved by the Bell, man. Lots of Zachs.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Boys, it was a magical time back then.
It's a magical time right now on this podcast, given the merger, given our sensitivity, given the fact that we are in a new era for what this means for our listeners. Would you agree with that, Big T?
Baby, I would, and I'm so glad you asked. And I was just, you know, it's funny, as you were saying that, man, I was just reflecting on something. And again, I don't want to celebrate too early, but I feel like the work that we've done this afternoon on this ep is rivaling that of the work that we did on the Lost app.
Let's wait till the end before we can make this.
I know, man, and you know I'm loath to make those kind of pronouncements halfway through a show. But we do need to wrap the show, and we need to land the plane here really soon. So what I want to do is this. Big R, I want to run one more name by you guys, and then I want your advice on a hair dilemma that I'm having, okay?
All right.
And we're going to close the program with that. So the last name, this is a guy, fellas, that I see, like, his wife, like, throws an old towel, like the kind of towel that you, like, wipe the dog's feet on. You know what I mean? Or you like, when it's snowy and, like, there's that little puddle that forms next to everyone's boots, you use it for that. But she takes this towel, she throws it around his shoulders, and she gives him a free haircut, so $0 in the kitchen. And I'm talking about – oh, Judas, I just lost the guy's name. Who am I talking about, Big R?
Are you talking about Eric Metaxi?
No, I'm not.
No. We talked about his hair on a recent episode. It was Mark Dever.
No, I'm talking about you guys. I'm talking about Platy.
Oh, Platy.
Platy's wife throws a towel around his shoulders and
– oh, dude.
Gives him that little flat top, man, in the kitchen.
Yeah, because he gets a razor cut. He gets a razor cut every time, man.
See, I would have guessed that he did it himself.
Mm.
Interesting.
Maybe that's even more wartime, isn't it? Like, I'm not even taking up my wife's time with this.
Right. Like, I'm not spending any money because technically when my wife cuts my hair, that's like her spending my money. Right?
Yes.
You know, because time is money, right? You know, so, I mean, yeah, so what did you say the other day, Pipe, about like, about wartime mentality? That's why we shouldn't be spending any money. Well, like, you literally tried to use your pops as like, you know, thing on that or whatever.
I think you at one point said, what do you spend on a haircut, Ronnie?
I spend $20 on a cut about every three weeks.
Pre-tip? And then you also tip the person who cuts your hair?
Do you know that's tip? That's with tip.
Oh, wow.
That's with tip.
Man, things are a lot cheaper where you live. Okay.
Dude, Ashland is not exactly like the Manhattan of Central Ohio from a price.
Does Central Ohio have a Manhattan? I wouldn't have guessed that.
No, there's no Manhattan or men with hats. You know, there's nothing like that around here. But like, so my cut costs $15, and I just hand the dude a 20, and I feel like super embarrassed to ask for like $2 back. So I just give him a 20. You know, and I feel like that's just ridiculous.
Easier to budget around numbers too.
Absolutely.
But
so
no, the statement is there are those who listen to this podcast who I guarantee feel like that is a lascivious spending of money because it's just an egregious waste and we should all be living in a wartime lifestyle. And that includes cutting your own hair or getting your spouse to do it. There's just no excuse for wasting that kind of money when that money could be put to gospel work.
Right. I think the problem with that, and I agree with you, Piper, except for one thing. I'm super offended by dudes with short hair that cut their own hair to get their wives to do it. Like, it just always looks bad. It will always look bad. And, I mean, you got to ask yourself, man, what's the value of having a bad haircut? Wait for it. For the sake of the gospel. You want to speak to that, Big T?
Baby, I don't know. I just feel like you've given us a lot to think about.
Well, I think I'm fairly certain that most of the people who do that are largely talking to other people with self-cut hair, like at their homeschool co-op parent meetings. So there's a lot of...
Pipe, you don't cut your own hair, do you, man? Did I just offend you, dude?
No. Heck no. although I will say this, I did not pay for a haircut until I went to college, which means I had mom haircuts up through high school because I wasn't going to pay for it. And
there's no shame in that part.
No, I'm not ashamed, but I'm sure my hair looked a little bit chopped. I think my mom did a fine job because I was the fourth boy and she'd had lots of practice.
Well, there you go.
But
not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of Noelle's haircut.
Mom's haircut.
Absolutely.
That's right.
There it is.
And so I would get my haircut by Noelle like any day. I would always do that.
In fact, let's do that on the air. We should do that.
Can you guys tell me your mom's names? Because I feel left out of being able to use your mother's names in a conversation.
My mom's name is Karen, and she's the sweetest lady in the world, man.
Karen is literally one of the most epic names ever from that era. I love it. My mom's
name is
Karen, Noelle, and Lorraine.
Lorraine.
Dude.
Is Lorraine a really, really nice grandmother? Like, does she do a great job as a grandmother?
I mean, you're getting tricky with me right now, Pipe, on how to answer that. But yeah, generally, yes, she does.
Because Lorraine sounds like the nicest grandmother in the world.
Karen, Noel, and Lorraine. You know what? One of these days, we're going to have to do an ep just on their behalf and literally call ourselves those names and basically like sort of like do the ep in the way that we think they would do the
ep. It's a natural Mother's Day special.
Yes.
Dude, that would be amazing, dude. We do our Mother's Day show as our mothers.
Karen, Lorraine, and Noel.
I love it. I love it.
Beautiful.
Boys, I feel like this is an organic place to stop this ep, man. I want to leave them wanting more. So I'm going to sign us off. But Big R, I'm just going to put this on your radar.
Yeah, throw it at me.
I'm having some issues with my hair.
Suss that out, man. What's the problem?
Listeners, if you're not aware, I have long, magnificent hair. It used to be very lush, full of body and sheen. And I just, Big R, haven't been as pleased with it of late, and I'm considering cutting it off, man.
But it's like a call. It'd be like Hulk Hogan getting rid of the skullet. Like, you can't do that.
I know. And you guys, I'm grieved. I'm just in turmoil over this.
Big T, hold on. Let me ask a clarifying question, man. Are you living in fear like all men do that it's thinning out?
Baby, I am living in a little bit of fear that it's thinning out. And listen, let me be clear. I mean, compared to most heads of hair, it's still high end. All right. So it's not like I'm walking around with like little stringy like strands of hair.
I understand. It's
not up to my standard. You know what I mean? What I've become accustomed to.
Is it a hair problem or is it like a product problem or like a hard water problem?
Dude, I don't know. It could be a hard water problem, man. Is that a thing?
Interesting. That's a total thing.
Absolutely a thing.
That's a total wild card.
And it shows up much more on people with longer hair because, like, if you're like Ronnie or myself with shorter hair and then you pile a bunch of products in it, you can hide just about anything.
What does it do? What does the hard water do to the hair pipe? I'm fascinated.
It makes it sort of like heavier and stringier. And I used to have sort of like moppy, like Rob Thomas late 90s style hair.
Dude, which was a great style of hair to have.
At the time, it was awesome. If I did it now, I don't know if it would work so well. But at the time...
Rob Thomas.
Wow. Of all the people to bring up on our broadcast, Robert Thomas. Snap.
Yeah.
Look, the one of the only times somebody has ever told me I look like a celebrity is somebody when I was about 19 years old telling me I look like Rob Thomas. So I'm going to own that until I die, even if nobody knows who he is anymore.
Well, I will. That's the guy, right?
Yeah, that's the guy. Yep, that's, yeah, the Matchbox 20 and now epic solo career. When I had hair like that, if I ever had to wash it in a place with hard water, so like a camp or something like that with well water, it was very stringy and heavy and gross.
Interesting.
And I'm sure all of our female listeners are laughing at us that this is something that we don't think about very often because I'm sure they can empathize with your plight.
Dude, this could be a hard water issue, Ronnie, that I'm dealing with. Now, my question to both of you is this. What do I do about it? Is there a product, like an additive that I can use to like walk through this?
Should I Google it?
Yes.
All right, let's see here.
Baby, while he's Googling it, let me give you a little advice. Let me just say straight away that I would be a little hyped if you cut your hair because I feel like it would bring us back to the old days of our radio show.
Yes.
Back when you had shorter hair and I had shorter hair and we were living the life of a couple of young men just embarking on the world, you know.
Dude, a couple of young radio moguls, man.
But the other thing to think about, man, is, you might have a vitamin deficiency, man. And so I would recommend taking a little vitamin D, a little vitamin E.
Do that.
Yeah, or a little multivitamin. Do a little multivitamin for men.
Do a little multivite, man. I can do that. That's well within my power, man. I can start doing that today.
You can do it every morning.
That may be a little bit easier than this four-step plan I found for four ways to beat hard water.
Listen, I'm willing.
All right.
I'm willing. I'm listening.
Step one, install a shower head water filter. They do exist. Okay. So you'll have to look that up and maybe talk to your local Lowe's or Home Depot expert because those guys know everything or they claim to. Second is use something called a chelating shampoo. They are specifically designed to prevent and remove mineral buildup in your hair. That's the problem with hard water. So they don't list any brands. Oh, here you're going to love this. Make an apple cider vinegar rinse.
So now we have the answer.
You want your hair to smell vaguely of sour apple cider with a touch of nasty.
Yeah, that's that sounds
no question.
Yeah. No question. One more step. One more step because we're not there yet. Finish off with argan oil. It is
argan oil.
It is an amazing product that will make your hair the shiniest, most moisturized, and healthiest looking it has ever been. And I don't think it's an essential oil, but it might be.
Michael, I'll bite.
There's a 4-step process for you to try, Ted, and see if you can regain your lustrous body of hair.
You know what? Let me put this out there to the listeners. If you have a product that you feel would help me with my issue, reach out to the program. We will get you a mailing address, and I will use the product and review it on the air. I'm desperate, guys. These are desperate times that we're in. I'm in a wartime mentality as it pertains to my long hair, and you know what? I'm fighting for it.
We're behind you too, Big T. We're walking alongside of you with this.
You're in this battle with me, man.
We are, man. You're not alone. You are not alone.
I appreciate it.
But don't take any drastic measures. I'm afraid to see a picture of shorn Ted. That just it seems like there's some echoes of Samson in that, and that seems like a poor choice at this point. Mm-hmm. I think you should see if you can resolve the issue before you remove the issue.
Wow. Baby. That was resolve the issue before you remove the issue. I mean, let me write that down, man, because I still don't have any application for my sermon, man.
A self-help program now.
That'll tweet, folks.
Because
let
of
me
what
tweet
I hear.
That. Let me write.
Yeah.
I'll give you credit, Piper. I give credit.
Oh, I appreciate credit. That. Thank you. I mean, no need. Pastors are not expected to do that. They're expected to just claim everything and use it as their own and be the genius.
I claim 98%, but yeah. I'm going to give you credit. Well, right. Okay.
I really appreciate that. It means I'm either especially respected or completely, you know, kind of useless.
No, I just want to say your name during my sermon.
Awesome. I appreciate that.
Boys, this has been legendary.
Did we outdo the missing episode? Can we determine that?
I feel like we far outdid the missing episode is the thing, man. I'm elated. I'm like buoyant.
You chillated?
Oh. I'm chillated. My hair is chillated. I'm elated.
Wow. Well, man, hold on. Let me write that down.
That's right. You got another one. I don't know how you're going to string these together, but
I'm
going to string them on vinyl.
On vinyl, yeah. They don't do sermon tapes at Ronnie's church. They do sermon vinyls.
We do sermon vinyls every Monday. They come out 180 gram.
That's right. Only the best.
33 RPM, man.
Boys. We have wandered to and fro, haven't we? It's been a joy. I'm going to go home and swaddle myself in some missional wear gear bearing our logo.
Enchilating shampoo.
And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
Have you ever attempted to read the entire Bible? Did you do it, or did you only make it part way? I'm John Stonge, and I host a podcast that will make it possible for you to make it through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. I've been hosting the Chapter a Day audio Bible podcast since 2015, and every single day of the week, I read one chapter of Scripture, then follow that up with a time of prayer. And if you're looking for daily insights and inspiration directly from God's Word, I hope you'll give the Chapter a Day audio Bible a listen. You can find it at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.